101DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Coming up on KSDP News, Sandpoint loses entire police force, and the Republican health care bill advances in the U.S. Senate. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP. The city of Sandpoint is unexpectedly without a police force. In the last 3 weeks, all the officers unexpectedly resigned. City Administrator Andy Varner says the first officer wanted to be closer to his spouse, who is in the military. A week later, the next two, a married couple, left because of a family decision. Varner says that left Police Chief Roger Bacon, who was scheduled to vacation in Scotland, as the island's only law enforcement.
There was sort of a mutual understanding that if he left to go for a month-long journey and leave the community with no law enforcement, understood by both sides that if he came back, he would not be an employee of the city. And so within a day or two, he had turned in his resignation.
All Bacon has to say about his departure is, quote, "If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it," and that he was headed to Scotland. According to the city, there is a contingency plan. An Alaska State Trooper will be in town next week, and Sandpoint is vetting an interim police chief. Varner acknowledges losing the entire force in such a short period might seem unmanageable to outsiders, but in Sandpoint, struggling to hire and keep officers is the norm.
Losing an officer in Sandpoint, that's certainly not new. Certainly not new in rural Alaska either, especially in law enforcement. It's kind of tough to keep officers around. Our department has been, you know, basically understaffed for years.
After spending most of last year working to fill the now vacant positions, Varner says none of the officers worked in the force longer than 6 months. Seeing every officer resign for family or travel, Sandpoint challenges as an isolated town of 1,000 residents where round-trip tickets to Anchorage alone can cost over $1,000. Varner says it's difficult to provide compensation and flexibility to convince non-locals to stay.
So we'll bite the bullet, metaphorically. We haven't hit desperation mode yet, but if we don't have any officers or a new chief within a couple months, then I think we would worry.
Before the resignations, Varner says police were focused on dealing with Alaska's opioid crisis and managing the seasonal population increase due to commercial fishing. The legislature will return to Juneau tomorrow to vote on a capital budget that senators and House members say they've agreed to. Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Misch says the bill is unlikely to address the most contentious issues, permanent fund dividends and oil and gas tax credits.
This budget will focus on the federal match and the primary capital budget line items where both bodies have essentially agreed. I don't think you're going to see the more contentious issues being solved. Clearly, those are going to be the most difficult issues that have to be solved going forward. I don't think they're going to happen in this bill.
The legislator will meet at 11 a.m. tomorrow in the Capitol. House and Senate leaders polled their members, and more than two-thirds support gaveling into special session to consider Senate Bill 23, the Capitol budget. Lawmakers haven't provided details about what will be in the compromise agreement. The biggest disagreements in the Capitol budget are on permanent fund dividends and oil and gas tax credits. The House voted to fund PFDs to the full amount set by state law. That's $700 million more in fund earnings than the operating budget the legislature passed in June. Some House members said in June that PFDs shouldn't be cut without requiring oil and gas companies to pay more in taxes. The legislature has since passed a bill requiring those companies to pay more. The Senate version of the capital budget didn't include additional money for dividends, but it added $288 million more for oil and gas tax credits, while the House allocated nothing, Senators have noted that Alaska owes oil and gas companies more than $1 billion in credits. The Senate also transferred $25 million away from the natural gas pipeline project to a fund for public schools, and $10 million to road maintenance and plowing. Whereas the House included $8 million to assist municipal governments. By tomorrow, lawmakers say they'll release details of the compromise. It was a dramatic day in the U.S. Senate yesterday, with a vote to advance a Republican health care bill. Alaska's two senators split their votes. Both told APRN's Liz Ruskin the outlook for the bill is uncertain.
Protesters in the gallery were escorted out individually. Then, with their chants still ringing in the chamber, 99 senators sat grim-faced as the roll was read.
Ms. Murkowski.
Senator Lisa Murkowski's answer, no, was barely picked up by the microphone, but it was heard loud and clear across the Capitol. On a procedural vote on whether to begin debate on a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, she and Senator Susan Collins of Maine were the only Republicans to vote no. That meant a 50-50 tie, which the vice president broke, keeping the bill in play. Murkowski told reporters this isn't the way to pass a health care bill, with no hearings and major elements of the bill still in flux.
Look, we need to get the work done, but it's more important to get the work done right, that substance matters when it comes to health care reform.
She says she's well aware that Republicans back home are disappointed in her. Alaska Republican Party Chairman Tuckerman Babcock wrote a letter to both senators over the weekend reminding them that repealing the ACA was central to the Republican agenda. Conservatives on social media have been less polite. Murkowski says she wants health care reform, too, but she says this bill isn't ready for debate on the Senate floor.
At the end of the day, I'm looking at it through the lens of what do I think is best for Alaskans.
Her no vote was somewhat overshadowed by the return of Senator John McCain, fresh from surgery and a diagnosis of brain cancer. With a new scar over his left eye, the Arizona Republican said the process the bill went through was wrong. It was crafted among Republicans behind closed doors, and McCain says they tried to convince skeptical colleagues it was better than nothing.
That it's better than nothing? Asking us to swallow our doubts and force it past a unified opposition. I don't think that's going to work in the end, and probably shouldn't.
McCain says it was wrong when Democrats pushed the Affordable Care Act through with no Republican votes, and it's wrong to do the same to them now.
Hold hearings. Try to report a bill out of committee with contributions from both sides.
McCain's stance on the process was the same as Murkowski's, but he cast the decisive vote in favor of the procedural motion. He said he wanted debate to begin and to start amending the bill. Senator Dan Sullivan also voted yes, and he says it's just a starting point. He says he's been working behind the scenes to make the Senate proposal better for Alaska.
The status quo is unacceptable. In beginning the process, which is bipartisan now, you're going to see amendments on both sides and debate on both sides, is important. It's what I committed to, and it's why I voted that way.
Now the Senate will log 20 hours of debate. Technically, they voted to debate the bill the House passed, but Republican leaders say they'll swap the bill for something else. It's still unclear what exactly. Then the Senate will begin trying to amend it. Both Alaska senators say they don't know what the bill will look like in the end. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSCP 830 AM.